Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Pleased to have with us some judges from Russia visiting to hear some of our arguments. So welcome. And our first case for argument is United States versus Tapia. Ms. Pringle?
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Abby Pringle, and I, along with my colleague Russell Shankland, represent appellant Jose Tapia under a 7-Eleven license through Northwestern University School of Law. Mr. Tapia is currently serving 10 years in prison, but for three reasons, his conviction and sentence cannot stand. First, the protective sweep that produced the gun was unconstitutional. Second, the sentencing court neglected its obligations when it enhanced Mr. Tapia's sentence by almost 3 years. And third, that enhancement was based on unreliable evidence. This court should vacate Mr. Tapia's conviction, or at a minimum, vacate Mr. Tapia's sentence. Now, I'd like to take these slightly out of turn and begin with sentencing, if I could. The three errors that we identify really arise from two distinct sets of obligations on the district court. Now, the most critical obligation, and especially the most critical in this case, is that the court ensure that Mr. Tapia's sentence be based only on reliable evidence. Now, I say it's critical here because the government's evidence relies in large part on the testimony of Clifford Gosdahl and Verda Rodriguez. Now, each of these witnesses gave two statements, and in each case, the second statement materially contradicted the first. This court has consistently recognized that where we have inconsistent statements from a single witness, something more is required if the lower court is going to choose to credit one of those statements. Here, in the case of Mr. Gosdahl, for example, the only thing that the court pointed to support his 11th-hour statement on the eve of Tapia's trial was that the ballistics evidence matched the types of guns that Mr. Gosdahl identified in that statement. Now, the problem
now,
here...
What do you have to say about the ballistics evidence? That's pretty conclusive, isn't it?
The ballistics evidence really only goes to the fact that somebody shot at the home on Greenview Avenue.
It identified as his gun, though, wasn't it?
Well, it was by constructive possession identified in Mr. Tapia's gun on May 19th when he was arrested. The thing is that the Greenview shooting occurred about a month and a half earlier, and there's really nothing tying him to the gun before that time. And indeed, when Mr. Gosdahl spoke to the Winona police, he told exactly the same story, really. And this was about a month before his statement to Detective Peraza. And he told exactly the same story, and he identified exactly the three same types of guns that the court relied on to support his reliability. But the major difference between the statements was in that earlier statement, Tapia wasn't there. And it was the court's obligation to address that exact contradiction. Similarly, with Ms. Rodriguez, we have a slightly different situation with her, actually, because she actually took the stand during sentencing and completely recanted everything she'd told Detective Peraza in her earlier statement. Now, the court offered as its reason for crediting Ms. Rodriguez's earlier statement the reason of timing. In certain situations, this might be reasonable, but in this situation, the timing of that statement actually significantly undercuts its reliability. That statement was given in the immediate wake of a domestic dispute between Ms. Rodriguez and Mr. Tapia, her estranged husband. This was a dispute that involved allegations of infidelity, money problems, and actual domestic violence. And as the Ninth and Tenth Circuits have both explicitly recognized, this kind of accusatory statement is really the least reliable kind of hearsay evidence available.
But the second statement is after they've got back together, so that's the same problem there, isn't it?
The second statement?
Yeah.
When
she recants her earlier statement.
Their couple status is not entirely clear at that time, I think. They were never really officially apart. But at the same time...
Usually the first statement is the one that generally seems to be more credible.
Well,
after somebody has some time to reflect, or and they sometimes come back with a different statement. I'm not saying it happens all the time, but
right.
Most often it's the first statement is the one that is the most reliable, isn't it?
Well, we're simply saying...
Of course, that's your argument about Gosdahl.
No, it's not our argument about Gosdahl.
It's his first statement.
Well, I mean, exactly. In this case, right. Timing just can't...
What? Pardon?
Timing just can't serve
first
as the
first of one, last of the other.
That's very true, Your Honor. And it seems that if the court's going to rely on
Let me ask you about the search. How far was the police car? So they led Sapia out of his house to the police car. So how far was that?
Well, they actually hadn't led Tapia out to the...
Pardon?
They hadn't actually led Tapia to the police car yet.
Well, wait a second. They did take him to a police car, right?
Yes, they did.
All right, so I'm asking, how far is the police car from his house?
Based on the pictures, it looks about, I don't know, 30 feet, 30 yards maybe.
30 feet or 30 yards? Those are not equivalents.
You're right, Your Honor. I'm really not sure. But Mr. Tapia was actually standing outside. As you can see from photos, he was still standing outside the house at the time. So he was he wasn't in the police car yet.
At the time?
At the time that they went down into the basement, he was in handcuffs, standing right outside one of the windows.
But they had to lead him to the police car.
They did, yes.
Well, then their back would be to the house.
That's true, Your Honor. However, because of the layout of the house, there's really no way that somebody coming from the basement could threaten the officers within that time.
Well, I don't understand. Comes from the police are walking in the police car. Their back is to the house. Someone comes up from the basement, and they're now facing the back of the police and Tapia, right?
That is a possibility, Your Honor. However, there were eight officers surrounding the home.
The eight wants to be shot in the back.
That's absolutely true. We're simply contending that based on the information that the police had at the time that they arrested Tapia, there wasn't any reason to believe that there was anybody else in the house that could pose a danger or not.
Well, this was a gang headquarters, wasn't it? Isn't it a gang assembled?
Well, again, the officers had been conducting surveillance for several days, and they hadn't seen anybody come or go. And none of these eight officers stationed around the house had heard anything, had seen anything.
Well,
so
they hadn't seen Tapia come and go either.
They hadn't, that's true.
So they shouldn't have gone and served the warrant on him. By your standard, if you don't see someone coming and going, there's no one in the house.
Well, no, I mean, they did have independent information that Tapia would be returning from a trip to Texas, and that is why they chose to go into...
Well, if Tapia is there, even though he doesn't keep popping back and forth in and out, why can't there be other people there?
Well, there certainly could, Your Honor, but that's not what Bowie requires. It requires specific and articulable facts that there would be other people there at the time of the arrest.
Well, what's the difference between the Latin kings and the Latin courts?
Latin counts, Your Honor.
Latin counts, I'm sorry.
It's two gangs.
Yeah,
two
different. What's it, like the Democrats and Republicans? Or what's the difference between them?
As far as I know, they just don't get along very well.
Just like Democrats and Republicans.
Just like Democrats and Republicans. If I could, I see that I'm well into my rebuttal time, so I'd just like to make one mention of the second set of obligations at sentencing, and essentially the fact that it was incumbent on the district court to do something more than make the mere conclusory finding that the Greenview shooting was a callous act of violence. There are three elements of this other offense, and the court simply failed to explain how the evidence before it could support a finding of an aggravated discharge of a firearm. And if this court has no further questions, I'd like to save the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Pringle. Ms. Mallory?
Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Monica Mallory. I represent the United States in this case. I'm going to start with the elements of the offense that supported the enhancement. In this sentencing hearing, the judge's focus was, as the objection by defense posed, whether or not the defendant was present at the shooting at Greenview, whether or not he was involved. And his findings supported that the defendant was involved. Once he made the finding that the defendant was involved in the Greenview shooting, particularly with the ballistics, as the court has already mentioned, 37 bullet strikes to a house, three weapons involved, the middle of the night, I think 1 o'clock in the morning, direct retaliation to a shooting the day before between another rival gang, the Kings versus the Counts. Once those findings had been made by the evidence, the court has basically encompassed all of the elements of the offense that warranted this enhancement. Under state law, and there was no need to go further into detail in its findings about why the defendant should be given this enhancement. The focus of the defense was that he wasn't there and he wasn't involved, and that is where the court focused its inquiry. As to the search, I'd like to address the nature of the officer's knowledge, the reasonableness of their knowledge. They knew this was a gang hangout. They knew that Tapia lived there as well as other gang members.
Well, wasn't it dangerous for the one officer to walk down into the basement? He'd be very exposed while he's walking down the stairs.
It was dangerous for him to walk down there and conduct a protective sweep, but he's an experienced officer. I think he described his sweep in the record. He went from the stairwell to one portion of the basement, which is a sort of a living area. He swept that area. Then he went into a bathroom area, swept that area.
No, but the dangerous part is opening the door and starting to walk down the stairs.
It is at that point on the sweep of the scene as you arrive. The protective sweep is both an arrival situation as well as a departure situation. The reason for the protective sweep is to protect the officers while they're on the scene as well as leaving.
You're following me. Isn't it dangerous for him for the protective sweep to take the form of one officer walking down the stairs?
That's dangerous for that officer.
Was his gun drawn?
I believe so. But the officers, that officer as well as the other eight, do have to ensure themselves that they can safely depart the scene as well as remain on the scene for whatever limited amount of time they need to effect the arrest. In this case, they needed to search that basement because of the configuration of the house. And despite defendant's argument that there's no record that the configuration supported the search, Bowie does not require that the officers know the precise configuration of a setting. They must only have a reasonable suspicion that dangerous persons are present, and they also must have some fear.
Are there regulations or guidelines or that instruct officers on when and how to conduct protective searches?
Oh, certainly, I'm sure there are.
They're not in the record.
They're not part of the record. The officer described why he conducted the search, and that is that there was a basement where the only activity in the house had been seen, which was Mr. Tapia coming up from the basement when the officers knocked at the door. Otherwise, the house was vacant on the top. So were there any persons in that house? And based on prior reports, there were persons reported to be in that house from gang meetings. Those persons would be in the basement. That would be the area where there would be dangerous persons that had to be ferreted out.
Mm-hmm. With it?
Well, that's it for me to address the arguments of the counsel today. The government asks that you affirm the conviction and uphold the sentence in this case.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Mallory. So, Ms. Pringle, your time had expired, but if you want another minute, you may have it. Do you have anything further?
The other student.
Or I'm sorry, Mr. Shanklin.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Your Honor, since my time is short, I want to address two quick points on rebuttal. First of all, as to the elements of the offense, what the government is doing here is trying to muddy the waters. We're dealing here with two separate categories of procedural errors, those related to reliability and those related to the elements of offense, And what the government's trying to do is put them together into one big confusing ball and basically argue that a conclusion about reliability somehow goes to the elements of the offense. But here, there are three distinct elements of defense, and the court only made one finding, and that was that the Greenview shooting was a callous act of violence. And contrary to what the government said, the court never actually said that Tapia was at the Greenview shooting. Turning quickly then to the sweep, the government wants to have it both ways. At trial, it tried to argue that Tapia was the only resident of the house in order to justify why it was his gun that was possessed. Now it wants to argue that it was a gang clubhouse and that it was full of dangerous people.
But not now. They've always taken that position that it was a gang hideout or meeting place or something, and there's an SUV that can hold six people that's parked in the
For the sweep, yes, the government has always argued that. But to the SUV, it's important to note here that the capacity of a car simply can't be a justification for a search because it would create an exception that swallowed the rule of the Fourth Amendment. I see that my time has expired. May I please have permission to conclude?
Thank you, sir.
We ask for these reasons that the court vacate Tapia's conviction or, in the alternative, vacate his sentence and remand for resentencing.
I didn't understand your argument about the... The government doesn't argue that the basement was always full of people, right?
Well, I mean, its argument
Their argument is there might have been people, I mean, so far as the search is concerned, there might have been other gang members there, therefore it was prudent to check out the basement. That's not the same as saying, and the car just showed, you know, there could be people there, not that there were people there.
No, but what this court has looked to in other cases for specific and articulable facts of a dangerous third-party presence are the observations of officers and not general indications like the existence of a single car.
I understand. It seems to me if there's some suspicion that there might be other gang members in the house, it's prudent to search it before you turn your back on the house.
All we're really asking for is here. I mean, eight officers showed up to conduct the sweep. They surrounded the house. They looked in the windows. They came in when they arrested Tapia. And they were in the position to try to observe some sort of specific and
articulable
fact.
I don't understand. They have not looked into the basement. There are no basement windows. So they're in the house, and they don't know whether there are people in the basement. So what are they supposed to do? What would you recommend if you were police superintendent?
Well, I would say that in order for a search to...
Answer my question. What would you recommend? You're a police superintendent. You're concerned about the safety of your officers. What do you think is a prudent precaution in this situation?
I would say that the prudent precaution would be to get out of the house as soon as possible and not to prolong...
I understand. You go running out of the house with Tapia? Well, what do you mean?
What about
the danger of while you're walking? We don't seem to know how far away the car was. But while you're walking, you've got your back to the... What are you supposed to do if someone pops out of the basement?
Based on the information that we have now, I just can't say that the police had a reasonable belief to believe that a dangerous party was in the basement.
But there's some chance there is, so they just look around.
But buoy requires more than some chance.
Why do you want to endanger the police? What's the great interest being protected here?
The safety of the police is certainly a consideration, but due to the sanctity of the house...
Sanctity of the house? What kind of talk is that?
Well, the house is the only zone of privacy.
Literally, do you? Sanctity of the basement?
Well, I mean, it's clear...
People sleep. No, no, no.
In the Fourth Amendment, it's clear that...
That's not clear in the Fourth Amendment. What's clear in the Fourth Amendment? All it does is forbid unreasonable searches.
Well, but...
It doesn't tell you what unreasonable means, does it?
No, but the sanctity of the house is clear in the Fourth Amendment because it's the only zone of privacy that is directly referenced in the Fourth Amendment.
That is true. That isn't what the Fourth Amendment says. It talks about... House, effects, papers, it's not limited to the house. Where do you get that from?
That's from the Supreme Court decision in
Payne. It's not in the Fourth Amendment, right?
No, but it's from the Supreme Court decision in Payne.
The Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment singled out the house, which it doesn't.
Well, the Supreme Court's interpretation of the Fourth Amendment.
Right, the Supreme Court has grafted the sanctity of the house onto the Fourth Amendment. Yeah. That's your point. Okay.
And for these reasons, we ask that this court vacate Tapia's conviction or, in the alternative, vacate his sentence and remand for resentencing. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you very much to Mr. Shanklin and Ms. Pringle and for, accepting the appointment and for your vigorous efforts on behalf of your client.